This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I do. Oh, someone warm like you.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Stevie Wonder there for you. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and friend, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us. Hey, it's Friday, May the 22nd already. Holy Toledo. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Father Robert Sirico of the Action Institute. We're going to talk to him about whether or not to reopen churches during this pandemic. Is that a good idea? Should we congregate? So stay tuned for that. I think you're going to find it very interesting. And Donald Trump traveling to Michigan kind of got into a mask off, you might say, with the state attorney general. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the only poll that really matters as far as mainstream America goes, the Barber Poll, Andrew Sorese, about this love-hate relationship with Donald Trump and the Gopher State. And could 35% of the people that have the virus not even know they have it? Well, that's what the Centers for the Disease Control are saying. We're going to talk about that. And now that they're starting to open up again here in Florida and other places along the coast, in our ultimate top 10, we got to figure out what are the top 10 best beaches in America. Yeah, we have them. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin on Overcash Drive. They are open again. All you got to do is call Nicole and set your reservation at a time that's good for you. You'll get in, get your haircut right away in a clean, sparkling, safe environment. 733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. And don't forget, you can listen to us anytime because Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. My God, after you hear us the first time, you got to hear us the second time. We're so good. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And Ed sets up a podcast. You'll see the podcast button. Just hit the podcast button, follow the bouncing ball. All right. Well, all kinds of craziness. I can't wait to talk to the Reverend Robert from the Action Institute. He lectures all over the place, by the way. And he writes quite a bit on religious, political, economic, social matters. He's all over the place. So you may have seen his name. I know I have. So I can't wait to talk with him about whether or not to reopen houses of worship. I think that's a very interesting topic. In the meantime, Donald Trump is blasting the Attorney General of Michigan. He was in Michigan yesterday. But this female attorney general there blasted him because he was not wearing a mask. She said she was going to have a very serious conversation with the Ford Motor Company for allowing Donald Trump to go without a mask during a tour. So, of course, you know that Sir Donald would get on the tweet machine later, right? Here's what he said. The wacky do-nothing attorney general of Michigan, Dana Nessel, is viciously threatening Ford Motor Company for the fact that I inspected a ventilator plant without a mask. Not their fault, and I did put on a mask. No wonder many auto companies left Michigan until I came along. Ah. He did wear a mask, by the way, for a part of the tour. I think he doesn't want to wander around in front of a camera with a mask. I do buy into that. I think he wants to show that we're opening up again. And, you know, if he's wandering around with that mask, it kind of gives you a different tone. We're going to talk more about all of that with the Master Barber a little bit later. In the meantime, asymptomatic virus patients, that means that they've got it but don't know it. They feel pretty healthy. They're of great concern to public health officials and lawmakers due to the fact they're wandering around, possibly breathing on people and spreading the virus without knowing it. Now the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, estimate that more than one-third of patients could be asymptomatic. One-third. The new guidance, which the agency says is, quote, designed to help inform decisions by modelers and public health officials who utilize mathematical modeling, list five scenarios and note this scenario five, which has 35% of the patients asymptomatic. It also notes, this is kind of interesting, 0.4% of those who do show symptoms, will die. 0.4%. Now, you don't want anyone to go from this thing. But 0.4 is pretty low. As we know, the most at-risk group are those 65 and older. CDC says it expects 1.3% of those who have the symptoms to die. 1.3%. After the over 65ers, the next most at-risk group are those 50 to 64. So, you know, it's an age thing. And, you know, the simple fact is that your system is not as strong when you're 65 as it was when you were 25. And that's why we have to be a little bit more careful with older people. And, you know, we can do that. But, you know, it's slowly but surely we're getting back to work. I know around here they're opening up a few more things yet. I guess you can now go to a restaurant, and I guess most of them are opening, but only seating about half the people they normally would. And beaches are, we can go to the beach, right? And we got to do our spacing, right?
Beaches are open. You just have to keep your,
yeah.
There's some restriction. No more than two people can lay or sit together.
You mean if I had a little, my little daughter or something with me, no?
Got to put her in the ocean.
Okay. You know, bury her in the sand and come back for her later. That's what you do.
And it's going to be a little strict as far as how many people are going to be let on the beach. I imagine by 1 o'clock today, the beaches will be at capacity.
It's a beautiful day here. Yeah. And by the way, we have the top 10 beaches. We'll see if any of our beaches here. Do you think, Ed, any of our?
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Okay.
I think Clearwater's been in the top five.
Okay, that's very interesting. We will see if you're right about that, Ed. So let's do this. I can't wait to talk to Father Sirico about whether or not we should reopen our churches. We will do that right after this break.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop,
in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a beautiful day in Tampa Bay and delighted to have the Reverend Robert Sirico. He is president of the Action Institute, and he lectures all over the place at colleges and universities, and his writings on religious, political, economic, and social matters published in a variety of journals. And we're going to talk with Father Robert on whether or not we should reopen our churches at this point during the pandemic. Father Sirico, welcome to Freedom Works.
Great to be with you. By the way, it's the Acton Institute, named after Lord Acton.
I am so sorry.
That's all right. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, which is what we're talking about, huh?
Absolutely so. And I find this to be a fascinating topic. I do worry about going into a church and standing next to somebody in a pew where you never know, right?
Right.
But at the same time,
kind of like a grocery store.
Yes,
right?
Indeed. And yet we have the grocery stores open and we have figured it out.
And the tattoo parlor.
How do we do that?
Far more intimate than receiving Holy Communion.
Oh my goodness, I have not figured that one out. By the way, they must have a great lobbying group. That's all I can think of.
I suspect there are more politicians who have tattoos than go to church. That's my theory on the matter. I might be wrong.
I think we should check them for that. There you go.
Yes.
So, what should we do about churches and Sunday masses and Jewish synagogues?
Right.
What should we do on this?
Well, I'll tell you what the Archbishop of Minneapolis, and in fact all of the dioceses, I think there are seven dioceses in Minnesota, they're going ahead. They're going ahead with church services. They're reducing the number of people who can come into the church at any given time. Remember that a lot of our churches are big. So, for instance, my parish, we can seat over 600 people in the church. If we have 25% of that capacity, we've got 150 people in the church. And so if you multiply the masses, you can bring people in. And then let's remember this, too. They're coming there from families who are living together. So those count as one, in effect, because they're not going to, you know, if they've got it, they've already shared it with each other. So I think I'm very attracted to the idea of just going ahead and beginning to do this, kind of like the barber in Michigan did, and moving ahead. I mean, it'd be much nicer to have the politicians on board with this, but we can't give up our right to religious liberty, or for that matter, to the liberty of commerce. Because politicians are playing games with us.
Is there any way to structure
a church so that people could keep that distance? In other words, you know, 6 feet apart, much like they might do in a restaurant these days? And then
yes, we're doing it. Every other pew is shut off. What we're doing is we've increased the number of masses, so they'll have a lower number of people. We've asked people who are not feeling well or vulnerable or elderly to stay home. Every other pew is used, and then in between masses, the pews are wiped down, and then the other pew is used. So there's a real rotation. They come in one door, they go out another door, so they're not gathering with each other. Even the way in which we're receiving Holy Communion is going to be spaced out. Yes, it's going to be every bit as safe as any of these other businesses or institutions that have opened up. And less intimate, you know, in a real way. As I said, with the tattoo parlor, you know, that's kind of close up.
Yeah. Now, when you admit... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking. I'm a Catholic, and I remember, you know, about administering communion.
Yeah.
Would you set it up so that perhaps there wouldn't be a transfer from a hand to a mouth, or how would you do that?
Yes. Well, first of all, I think all of the bishops in the United States have withdrawn. We call it withdrawn the chalice, so there won't be any reception from the cup at all. In my parish, we don't do that anyway. And then the reception, either on the tongue or on the hand, can be done very, you know, carefully. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not like surgery.
Right.
There's even a pair of... Now, you're a Catholic, so you'll get this. Maybe non-Catholics won't. But through the distribution of communion, remember the Catholic Church is 2,000 years old. This ain't our first play.
No,
right?
It's true.
There's a thing called, I don't know what the actual name of it is, but I call them liturgical tweezers.
Yes.
So that there's a thing like a tweezer made of gold, and you take the host out and you place it on the person's tongue. If there's any touch, then you sanitize it and go to the next one. You do the same thing with the fingers, too. I actually think that it's safer to do it directly on the tongue because you're not, you know, increasing the number of steps for the consummation of the sacrament.
You'd think the good Lord would make sure everything would be okay in the distribution of the Holy Eucharist, right?
In that sense, you know, I'm not, I don't encourage religious fanaticism. Some people say, well, we don't have to worry, God will protect us in a church. Well,
right.
You know how many people have been killed in storms
yes.
in churches and stuff. You know, you have to be sensible about this.
God helps those who protect themselves, right, or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
We're talking with the Reverend Robert Sirico. He's president of the Acton. I called it the Action Institute. Maybe that's as good a name for you, but the Acton Institute. And we're talking about whether or not to reopen churches. And Father Robert, I'm reading here that more than 1,200 California pastors say they will resume in-person services at the end of the month.
That's right.
In defiance of the California governor's stay-at-home order. That will be an interesting event.
Well, that will be very interesting. What are they going to do, come and invade churches? Are they going to...
Well, wouldn't that be a wonderful photo op for the governor, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I the other thing is, think of it this way. Who cares more about those people, the pastors themselves or the politicians? Who knows the people better? And who's going to make accommodation for what really exists in a given community, in a given church, in a given parish or congregation? You know, I think it was horrendous what de Blasio did in New York in his reference to the Jewish community. There they were out there commemorating the death of a major rabbi, and he said something to the effect that the Jewish community has to begin to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it sounded like something horrible from the Second World War.
Anti-Semitic, you mean?
Yes. Oh, no, he was called on the carpet for it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man then who goes out and goes to the park when he's telling everybody to stay home.
Yeah, de Blasio is an interesting character. He seems
well, there are a number of them like that, you know.
He puts his foot in his mouth quite a bit. That's what I would think.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Now, also, a judge in Kentucky stopped a church ban there. Kentucky churches were able, apparently, to hold in-person services this past Sunday during the outbreak after a federal judge ruled in their favor and against the Kentucky governor there. So it looks like
it's breaking down.
The door is breaking down on this. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Catholics are in a more difficult position because I, as a priest, for instance, am under two levels of authority. The governor, and we have Gretchen Whitmer, who is a piece of work. I mean, she just wants to close everybody down and all the whole thing. But also, as a Catholic priest, I'm under the authority of the bishop. I'm very happy to ignore the governor when I think this is unreasonable. The bishop, I have made a solemn vow to, so I have to wait for his move and his permission. And thankfully, next week we are permitted to have Mass again under a set of prudential circumstances.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, you know the old saying, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God's. I'm thinking these things are God's when it comes to the church, right?
I mean, you think of the role of churches and synagogues and mosques and communities. We are the first of the first responders. We are the first when people are in need, who people come to. We know them in our parishes, or we know people who know them. And to alienate the religious community in the way many of these politicians are doing, I think, is a very imprudent action.
Now, Father, it sounds like you are kind of on the side of opening things up again overall. Is that the case in Michigan?
Yes, generally speaking, I think it's a good thing. I think we have to be very prudent about it. But everything I've read, I'm no epidemiologist, so I don't want to pretend. Everybody's become an expert on all of this, and I don't profess that. What I do think, though, is that the economy is vital. It's as vital as anything else. Wealthier communities are healthier communities. We know that historically. I think we need to find ways to open up our communities, and let's begin commerce, let's begin the interaction. Also, as a pastor, I have to say, psychologically, this is a very difficult moment for people to be in forced enclosure when I don't think that it is necessary. I don't see the evidence for it. You know, the ship Comfort that went to New York, which was the center of the coronavirus crisis in the United States.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think there were 100, maybe 200 patients.
Yeah.
And the Javits Center, the same thing.
Right. Wow.
So I think they were overly cautious, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But to the extent that we keep driving this thing and driving the economy into the ground, we're all going to regret it.
You know, I think the emotional importance of church right now, people, let's be honest, people, it's depressing.
Yeah.
It's depressing to be hunkered down like this for so long.
Right.
It plays with your mind. There's all kinds of things that are bad about it.
People need words of hope. They need encouragement. They need a sense, especially religious people, in a sense of transcendence that even in a difficult circumstance, there is hope. That kind of optimism that certainly religion is one of the main vehicles by which people can attain that.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that all of the governors will think about this so that we can get people back into the churches. I think it's a tonic for people right now to be able to do that and share, you know, just, I don't know.
Again, responsibly. We have to do it responsibly, and we're willing to.
Yeah, I think that's it. That you know, allow these churches. They know their people, and they know their the geography. Let them try to figure it out. Well, thank you so much, Father.
Great to be with you.
It was
both.
Really a pleasure. Yeah,
me.
And good luck
to you. Acton.org.
And it's going to be the Acton Institute, Father Robert Sirico. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes. Father Robert Sirico, Acton Institute. How did I get Action Institute out of it? Well, it's going to take action, if he can do it, about reopening the churches. So let us take our break, and when we come back, a cleric of another kind, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. We're going to talk a little bit about Donald Trump, his mask off in Michigan, and what's going on overall with the pandemic.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on what is this? A Friday. Yes, that's what it is, Friday. Hey, Memorial Day is Monday. I wasn't really got kind of getting lost this week, but here's an interesting story I just found, Ed. Congressional Democrats and the state government's pushing a range of ways to assist illegals, lobbying to make them eligible for over $1,000 each in stimulus payments. If I were Democrats, I wouldn't go there. I would not go there. This is not a time to start talking about that. And
aren't they getting enough money?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Come on, they're working the system.
Oh, I'm sure they
are. They're working the system. They're the ones in line with 5 gallons of milk at one time.
Oh, okay. Maybe they are. They have a lot of kids at home. A lot of kids at home. Is that what you mean?
Well, that they get it once a month, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you freeze a couple gallons here and there. And
now, you mentioned, I haven't seen the story, but you mentioned something in England about some good news.
Yeah, Britain is getting into the act on the vaccine, and they are now in stage two or phase two, to where they are going to test what they have on 10,000 people.
10,000, okay. Yes. Wow. So it looks promising, huh?
I'd say so.
Okay.
I mean,
have to look for that.
That's the game ender. It's not changer, that's the game ender.
Game ender, yep. Yeah, it'd be great.
That's it.
Wow. Well, we got a game changer here with us, Andrew with the Master Barber. And Andrew, I'll tell you what, Donald Trump has gone on to Michigan, and he always seems to have fun with the governor there, who's a female, and now he's also sparring with the attorney general yesterday about wearing a mask. What do you think? You got your mask on, by the way, Andrew?
No, actually, Paul, I'm here sitting by my pool breathing fresh air.
Oh, you are? Okay,
yes,
my friend.
Today's my day off.
Well, wonderful. I'm delighted for you because you've been, I'll tell you what, every moment at your barbershop, people are coming in.
Paul, I'll tell you, we've been busy as can be. And I'll tell you what, I'm almost thanking this pandemic here because my shop has never been this busy in 35 years.
Oh, no kidding.
I got new customers popping up all over the place. Oh. I need to send a thank you note to Donald Trump.
Well, there you go. Maybe you want to send one to China, too, because of the pandemic? I don't think so. But
Paul, I hate Trump. All I can tell you is I hate Trump. I don't know why, but I hate him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Paul, you know, yeah, he's having a ball in Michigan. Come on, all these people are going to start crying. You know, all they do is cry, cry, cry. Mm. He didn't have a mask on. He needs a mask on. Don't they have anything better to do?
And he was wearing a mask, by the way, for a part of it.
That's right. Listen, he's trying to show people it's okay to go without a mask.
Yeah. And it's I mean, what would it,
I think they should wrap everybody in bubbles. Did you see what they're trying to do to bring these kids back to school in the fall?
No kidding. Are they going to bubble wrap them?
They should, according to what they're talking about. They were talking about on the bus, one child per seat with a space in between each seat. So that means there'll be 15 kids on each freaking bus. Now, how many trips do they got to make to get these kids to school?
Wow.
I mean, if you saw the list that they had to go, didn't they make a movie one time, The Kid in the Bubble or something?
Yes, they did. I believe you're right.
The movie of 50,000 kids in a bubble.
Did you see? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, this is ridiculous, Paul, what they're doing. And you know what? It's calming down. I'll see the traffic on the road. People are over this crap, Paul.
I think you're right.
The traffic on the road is there. The stores were mobbed. I went to the grocery stores this morning. People all over the place. Some got a mask on, some don't. You know?
Yes. Hey,
let's face the facts. Old people are going to die. I'm going to die. I'm in the 65 category. If I'm lucky, I got 15 years as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you'll be around for a long time.
You know, just push this and push this and push this to try and panic the people, The party's over, Paul. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in New York this weekend with their beaches. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be very, very interesting. You know, I was just thinking, one of the establishments they haven't opened up yet, at least here in Florida, and I am waiting for, are the bars and the sports bars. And then I see this bar where these people were wandering around on these little walking bicycles with inner tubes around them. Did you see it?
No, I missed it.
I'm not kidding. They had, you know, like those swimming pool inner tubes, those big black ones?
Yep.
That you would take to the beach. I mean, you know, the big ones.
Did you see those, Andrew?
Got them out of a truck tire. Andrew, it's on my Facebook page. You probably saw it. The big inner tubes.
I haven't had a chance to look at Facebook.
And they got like a frame underneath them, and they're on wheels. And
it's like bumper cars. It's hilarious, but the guy is doing a business. You actually go to the bar, and you get yourself into this little device, and you can wander around. Now, I don't know how many people you'll be able to...
It's like bumper cars.
Yeah,
it's
bar.
They have a couple cocktails and make a game out of it.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. You have about six or seven drinks, and you get in there, and you just start whacking off, you know, bouncing off everybody around you. It would be amazing.
You know, Paul, getting back to President Trump here, he's doing a great job with this. I say in the next 2 weeks, this is fading out. They're going to try and keep it going. You know, the CDC, they come out with new guidelines every day. One-third of the people could be cured.
Yeah, they can have this.
Come on, man. These people don't know what they're talking about. Every day it's a different thing.
Now, President Trump says we're not going to back up, even if there happens to be a little bit of a second wave in certain areas of the country of this virus.
Paul, I agree with him. You can't shut this economy down. That's what they're waiting for. You know, let's face it. You had Nazi Germany taking over the world in World War II. We fought back. Are we going to let this virus knock this country down? Come on.
Yeah.
It's not worth it, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I notice
around here, maybe I'm noticing more people on the road. So to me, that indicates that more commerce is going on.
And, you know, I don't see as many people driving in their car with their windows closed, their air conditioning on, with their mask on. There's not as many as I used to see.
Right.
You know,
they're kind of getting used to it.
That's based on facts. They're trying to do everything to get Trump out of here. I'm disappointed in Barr. You know, he needs to get on the ball with this stuff as far as
Bob Barr, the subpoenas
and an indictment coming along. Yeah, and you know why? Because it'll change the subject of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a change of the subject. Every 3 months, it's a new subject against Trump, you know?
And like I said, I listened to your show yesterday,
the show that you were on.
Oh, yeah.
All you can hear them say is one thing. We just hate Trump. Well, why do you hate Trump? What did he do wrong? We just hate him. We don't know why. We don't like his personality. You know what? If the guy had a weak personality, he wouldn't be where he is today.
Yeah, that was the voice of reason. They invited us on to talk with them for a while. I kind of enjoyed it, and I thank you for the comment about the show. But people, for some reason, seem to associate whether or not they like his personality with whether or not he's an effective president, which I think you just got to be honest. We talk about it. You know, maybe the best surgeon in the hospital is also the guy with a personality.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter. Yep. Wasn't he a soft-talking guy? And
yes.
We got to do that. What happened with Jimmy Carter?
He disappeared, didn't he?
Why? He was a flop. He was a flop.
He yes, he was.
And now the guy that had the ego was Barack Obama.
Yes.
You talk about a man with an ego, give me a freaking break.
Yeah, yeah.
He thought he was God.
Yeah, he's quite sanctimonious. I always thought, even the way he walked and went up and down stairs and everything about him was, yep, I'm cool. That's that's always what I thought. But you got to separate that from whether or not the guy's effective.
Hey, well, Paul, you know, I would like to invite the two gentlemen you were on the show yesterday to come in my barbershop and hang out for a day and see what people really think and let them talk how they talk and see how people react to what they say.
Yeah. I think
I would invite them to come in for that.
I think it would be interesting. They were afraid that if they got anywhere near you and you had a razor, a straight razor, that there might
We don't like this guy. He's a barber. He's got a razor. Tell these guys to take their panties off, will you, and put a pair of BBDs on. Give me a freaking break. All they said was they could not answer one question you asked yesterday about anything. Not one question.
And you know,
and then you know what I'd like to hear him say? I got some people that came here from Europe that are now citizens. One from Denmark. They need to talk to him. All these other countries, you know, they got free medical. I'd like to tell you what.
Socialist.
My friend's parents in Denmark own a printing company. They pay 75% tax. Okay?
Exactly.
Year to support they're free. Nothing
That's
is free
exactly
in life.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly. That's the point.
When you're born, you pay for diapers. They don't give them to you free.
There you go. Somebody pays for it. There is no such thing as a free lunch. What do you add?
No. And everybody from Canada, they need to come in my barbershop and listen to the Canadians, how good their health care is.
There you go. Perfect.
They all come here to get things done, Paul.
Exactly right. Ed,
they drive across the border into Michigan, into New York to get their medical care. Now, these guys need a rude awakening. They need to come in my barbershop, and I'm inviting them in for the day. I'll buy them lunch.
Hey, Andrew, one thing you did not hear them talk about, their candidate for president.
Well, there's nothing to talk about.
Oh, yes, there is. I just found
I want to know how Ed sits in that seat. Do you guys got a seatbelt around that seat so he can't jump across the table or something?
The glass is kind of thick. But sometimes I can peer through it. I'll tell you that.
I was
going to tell Lola, you know, Lola, I'll pay you double what they're paying you to keep them off the air.
She'll take it.
As long as we keep them off the air, that's all right.
Now, I want to say in their defense, and thank you very much for your kind words. And you know what? I know how you feel, but they are nice. They are two nice gentlemen.
Yeah,
I want
to
tell you that because they are. And I very much enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun talking with them about it, but I just wanted to enter that. And I've had them on our show.
Yeah.
I've had both of them on our show.
I heard both times.
So
I was very impressed both times.
So, you know, I want to get back to Biden for a second. You said he's not doing anything. Joe Biden faced a swift backlash today for suggesting during a contentious radio interview with, I guess this is Charlemagne the God. Have you ever heard of that host on radio?
No.
That those having a hard time, quote, figuring out whether to support him or President Trump, quote, ain't black. Ain't black. Now, that's a real bright thing to say. The dust-up occurred 17 minutes into the interview on The Breakfast Club, a nationally broadcast morning talk show with black listeners, when a Biden aide tried to end the interview, prompting the host to charge, you can't do that to black media. So there we go.
What did he do?
He said, he said that those having a hard time figuring out whether or not to support him or Trump ain't black.
Oh, wow.
They ain't black because all the blacks are going to vote for Biden.
Oh,
there
wow.
you go.
I got him like lemmings. Joe Biden. The blacks don't like him either.
Exactly. Well, he just managed to say basically that it's a groupthink with blacks. They don't have any thoughts of their own by saying that.
You know how you do an ad campaign against Joe Biden? Hand Joe Biden the microphone.
There you go.
That's all you got to do.
The more
and ask him a question.
The more he's in front of a camera, the better it is for Donald Trump. That's why it'll be very interesting, no matter how they do it, when they finally start debating. I cannot wait to see Biden.
Now, you got to be kidding me. What a show is that going to be?
I think it'll be interesting.
interesting. It's going to be like a first-round knockout in the boxing ring. What, are you kidding me?
In the first minute.
Well,
yeah, but there's one thing. He'll fall asleep before he gets knocked out, so I'm not worried about the knockout.
You know, all that Trump guy does is play golf all the time. He just plays golf.
Yeah, that's
all. The only one that played golf was Barack Obama.
Yeah, in Hawaii.
Yeah, now.
He got on his jet and flew to Hawaii twice a week to play golf.
Okay, now.
As a matter of fact, when Benghazi happened, wasn't he on the golf course or something?
Yes, he was. That's true. He was on his way to playing a round of golf, but he wouldn't turn around and come back.
That's exactly right. Did you hear that, boys?
That's true.
That was brought up yesterday.
Now, I was going to say.
Said about that. Yes.
I don't know why they would. Donald Trump has invested more time and effort into this job than I think any president that I can remember. This guy is up early in the morning. Yes, he tweets, and I don't particularly get excited about that. But this guy is up, and he's all over the place. They cannot say that he's not making the effort, no matter what.
The guy is doing a great job. You know, the American people finally have a president that's putting America first, taking care of the American people, trying to, and he's fighting all these morons that want to give it to everybody else except the American people. Did you see the goofball in California? He said, if we don't give them money to bail them out, the first people they're letting go are the firemen and the policemen. Good, let them go.
Wow.
See what happens, you goof. All your illegal immigrants over here are going to have a ball with you people.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
These guys are nuts. What the hell is their problem? Yeah. Where did it come from? And you know what? Look at the stupid people that elect them. This is what our country is coming to. It's disgusting. Let me tell you something. This Memorial Day, there's going to be a lot of veterans doing cartwheels in their graves, buddy.
Yeah.
They put their life on the line for this. And this is what they get?
Yeah.
No, talk about getting stabbed in the back by these people. But you know what? What goes around comes around, Paul. These people are in for a rude awakening, and I'm buying a lot of stock in the Kleenex company. Kimberly Clark.
Indeed. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of tears. Well, let's hope that they're tears of joy for those that are voting for Donald Trump. Right?
Yeah, and I want to say one thing. There's some people out there think it's going to take a long time for this economy to come back and people to go out and do the. I think people are at the point right now getting out. They're appreciating what they didn't have. For about two months.
Right. You know, they got a taste of socialism.
Yep. Exactly.
Just a little taste. Imagine if it was real socialism. The banks wouldn't have even been open. There wouldn't have been any banks. You know, the grocery stores, they're limited. Nothing on the shelves.
Imagine.
Like
that's scary.
For 2 months.
These people need an education, and they need to talk to the people that got out of those countries to come here for
I think
freedom.
You made a very good point. A taste of socialism is indeed what we're going through, and now we can see what goes on with it.
For 2 months.
Very scary.
2 months, we couldn't even see our barber, you know.
Right.
Couldn't go get our haircut.
There's nothing worse than that, is there?
Yeah, no. You know, that's when I drew the line, you know.
Trust me, you start feeling like a hermit when you can't get your haircut.
I'll make you guys laugh. You know, when I first met my wife years and years ago, my mother-in-law looked at my wife and says, "A barber? Like, what's wrong with you, a barber? Best you can do?" You know? Now, if she was alive, she would say, "A barber? Wow."
Yeah, she'd be impressed. Yeah, she would be impressed. Andrew, it's always a pleasure. You have a wonderful Memorial Day.
You guys do. You guys have a great Memorial Day. Remember the people that lost their lives for the freedom of this country.
Absolutely right.
All right, buddy.
We'll talk to you Tuesday. All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
There he goes, the Master Barber. All right. Let's take our quick break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 best beaches in America.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment, Freedom Works. By the way, we're going to be taking Memorial Day Monday off and be back on Tuesday, so you have a wonderful, safe Memorial weekend. In the meantime, some kind of sad news. I watch Fox News from time to time, well, pretty regularly, actually. And they have a weather girl by the name of Janice Dean, who's been there for a long time, always known for her sunny disposition. And she's not very political, but very sad news. Her mother and father-in-law have died of the coronavirus. And she feels it has to do with what New York Governor Andrew Cuomo did by forcing those from hospitals that had the coronavirus back into nursing homes. And it affected her in-laws. And so she tweeted this over the weekend on Sunday of last week. Can you imagine how much press the nursing home tragedy here in New York City would be getting if Governor Cuomo was a Republican? It would be on every single channel and newspaper. And yes, if he was a Republican, I'd be just... as furious. There are no words to explain how furious I am. My husband is still grieving about the loss of his parents to this virus. Now, Cuomo went on CNN, and his brother has a show on there, Ed, and they didn't even bring it up, of course. They were making jokes, not about people dying, but they were making jokes about the virus and the tongue thing and all kinds of things. And I'm thinking, boy, this is, if I were you, Governor Cuomo, I wouldn't be laughing right now, especially with that. I'm surprised he has the approval rating they claim he has.
Yeah. And, you know, when this is over, and this should be on both sides, hello, Democrats, when this is over, there's going to be some investigations. And I think Cuomo's going to be at the head of that, because here's the guy that demanded he have the Navy ship in dock, which he never used, which he did use, but he sent the wrong ones on there. They sent the COVID patients on there, infected it. So he never used that. The lockdown, I mean, he's over-exaggerated that. You know, the St. Pete Pravda here yesterday had a thing in there where DeSantis basically, the Florida bought $280 million worth of temporary hospital rooms that you can put together and use, and we never used them. And it might have been a waste of money. But here's the thing. They griped at him or griped at the government in Florida for not being prepared for this. But guess what? These things are you can disable them and pack them away.
Right.
And guess what? If this would ever happen again, we've got them.
Yeah, that's true.
They're reusable.
That's true. I agree.
So damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, well, the Times hates DeSantis. Let's be honest. It wouldn't make any difference what he did.
No.
They dislike him. He's a Republican, and they're very liberal. All right. It is time for you to get over to those drums, which you do so well. Ed, we've got the top 10, and we've done this before, but you know, every year we got to take a second look.
Yeah.
Right. So this is they call him Dr. Beach, Stephen Leatherman. He is a coastal scientist and a professor at Florida International University, and he comes up every year with his top 10 best beaches in America. So here we go, number 10. It's in South Carolina on Kiowa Island. It's called Beach Walker Park. And South Carolina being a beautiful state with beautiful beaches. There you go. Number nine, Coronado Beach. I've been there. San Diego, California. Very, very pretty beach. Right out there. Number eight, up to Massachusetts, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. It's Coast Guard Beach. I've never been to Cape Cod, but have you ever been there, Ed, to
nope.
Cape Cod? I'd like to go there.
But the water's cold.
Yeah, yeah. Up in Cape Cod, it would be.
And that would be Cape Cod.
Cape Cod.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they had a song, a beautiful song called Cape Cod.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to find that and play
it sometime.
That's
where Jaws was filmed, wasn't it? Around that area?
I think you're right.
Pretty close to it?
Yeah, I think exactly right. Yeah.
That in Florida.
Remember, it was Amity
Beach?
Amity
Island.
Amity Island. There you go. All right. Well, let's see here. Number seven, Hapuna Beach. That's on the Big Island in Hawaii. You know that there was going to be
Kilo.
Have you been there?
No.
Okay.
Lola and I were just talking about that yesterday.
Were you?
Yeah.
I'll bet she's been there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet she. I mean,
she talks
Hapuna
about
Beach.
It like it was yesterday for lunch.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Number six, Caladese Island State Park. It's right here in Dunedin. It's right here. It's beautiful. And in some cases, it's been number one. In some cases, it's number one. But it's sixth this year. Number five, Lighthouse Beach. It's in Buxton, North Carolina. Lighthouse Beach. I guess they have a nice lighthouse. I always wondered why we wouldn't have a lighthouse somewhere, like a beach, a restaurant on the top revolving on a lighthouse.
That'd be a big lighthouse.
Yeah, but I mean it. I'd like to see something, you know, like
go down to St. Pete Beach to get the thing on the top of the hotel that revolves.
Yeah, okay, but wouldn't it be cool to have a lighthouse? I always thought they should have put one out in the pier.
Probably get sick up there.
Okay, number four.
Spinning around.
Yeah. Back to Hawaii. Wahoo, it's Duke Kahanamoku, I guess. Kahanamoku Beach. There you go. Number three, Cooper's Beach in, of all places, Southampton, New York. Now, Southampton's a very exclusive, ritzy area, I suspect, on Long
Island.
You got
to wear a suit and a tie to get on the beach.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. All right, number two, it's called Lifeguarded Beach. It's on Ocracoke Island in North Carolina.
Easy for you to say.
Ocracoke, yeah. Okay, Ed. Here we go. Do you have any idea what the number one beach is?
You know, I thought maybe Clearwater, but if I had to choose, I would say Siesta Key.
That's a good,
in Sarasota.
Yeah, it's beautiful there. Actually, the number one beach is in the Florida Panhandle, according to the doctor. It's Grayton Beach. Grayton Beach. The sand along the coast of Grayton Beach, he says, State Park. Grayton Beach State Park. So unique, some say it speaks to you. It's compared to sugar, and it's so white it's almost blinding in bright sunlight. It's that fine powdery sand that talks to you. There's a restaurant owner there who also says the squeak, squeak, squeak of the sand when you walk in it is heavenly. So there you go. Well, listen, have a wonderful Memorial weekend. Remember all of those who died for us. We'll be back on Tuesday. Freedom Works.
Things were gone. I worked for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom.
WTAN Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City,
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills,
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Special report coronavirus.